Hi, and welcome to Prosody, WYEP's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest tonight is the poet Dorothy Holly. Dorothy Holly is the author of four books, A Whole Quart Jar, The Garden Journals, Late Day Thoughts, and her newest collection of poems entitled Dream Quartet, all published by Foothills Publishing. She is a member of Pittsburgh Poetry Society and the Mad Women in the Attic. Hi, Dorothy. How are you?
Fine, because I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. We're happy you're here. And you've been on Prosody before, and you keep coming out with new books, which is great. So congratulations on this new book.
Thank you. It surprises me, too.
Okay. Okay. So why don't you read from Dream Quartet?
All right. Well, I might as well start at the beginning and read the first poem, Dream of the Peaceable Kingdom. Under a blue-pink sky among the grass and trees, in clear colors and shapes, the lion and ox stand side by side. The leopard, kid, calf, and lion lie down together. A child leads them in another place at the snake's hole. William Penn and other Quakers meet with Lenape Indians in this scene. Edward Hicks, filled with the words of Isaiah, "We shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain," painted the vision again and again. This painting, hanging on the wall, is the theme of my home. Come, enter my house. And then, like in my other books, I continue to write about nature. And I'd like to share this one, a poem that I saw when I was sitting on my back porch. In my backyard, the doves. In my backyard, the doves, brownish gray in color, waddle their way to drop seed, or they fly to a feeder to eat thistle seed they're not supposed to like. The male courts the female, with wings down circling her, calling, "Whoo!" Why are they called morning doves? I like their earthly color and ways. And this is written after a workshop as part of the Mad Women. We love to get together and share our work, and it seems to energize me. So I wrote Spring Poetry Workshop for the Mad Women. After they left, I felt so energized, forgetting my defective heart, I did my first spring work in the garden. Leaves and debris, thick on the beds, hid what may be growing. Raking it away showed the beginnings of daffodils and even tulips. Then to the lawn where I threw soil, gypsum, and seed, knowing spring rains promote new growth. And then I'm old enough to have lived through several war times, and this poem is entitled, It is Sunday. It is Sunday. Sometimes we go to church. Today we study at our desk until evening. The dining hall closed. My roommate and I go to Isley's with my brother and his roommate, ready for a light-hearted time. They had the radio on. Tell us of the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Tell us of our fleet's destruction. How many had been killed by the Japanese surprise attack. We sit with our mouths open as we know a deed has been done that can never, never be undone. Then sometimes I like to dip into the past, and this one is called Dream of the Old Farmhouse. In the old farmhouse stood a cedar brought in from the field by horses, wagon, men. The warmth of the room released the tree's fragrance. The children watched nearby, wide-eyed, as mother, father placed the strings of popcorn and cranberries around its girth. On tiptoe, the children hung the tinsel as far as they could reach. Last, the candle holders, carefully clamped among the branches, held the candles on Christmas Eve.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest tonight is the poet Dorothy Holly. She's reading from her new book entitled Dream Quartet. Dorothy, I wanted to ask you about your writing career, because it's been pretty interesting. You came to writing a little late. How old were you when you published your first book?
I was 82.
Yeah. 82. That's kind of amazing.
Well, I had always been interested in poetry, and I had been writing poems about growing up on a farm a long time ago. And I thought my children would like to have a record of that. But as I continued, I realized, well, it was really historic, this experience I had, that people probably don't experience much anymore. And so I had enough books for a collection, and so finally I slipped them to my madwoman leader and asked her if she'd look at them, and I've been going strong ever since, mm-hmm. thanks to madwomen.
Mm-hmm. People out there who don't know, Mad Women in the Attic is a workshop at Carlo University, and your first book is entitled A Whole Court Jar, right?
Yes.
And that first book is all about life on the farm before electricity, and you had, I think on the cover of that book is a
picture of my paternal grandparents that I took with a box camera a long time ago.
Okay.
And it's very dear to me, and it's a gray and white picture, but I still love it.
Mm-hmm. And then your second book, The Garden Journals, includes photographs with the poems. Is that right?
Yes, I took pictures out in my garden because I'm an amateur photographer, and it was fun having the pictures plus poems plus excerpts for my journal. I keep a journal of what I plant and what's blooming and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was really an interesting idea to have journal excerpts along with poems, because you don't see that often. And then these photographs, color photographs. And then your third book is Late Day Thoughts. What's going on in that one, generally?
Because I'm getting up there in age, I thought, well, this is my last book. So what do older people think about? But all the books have a theme, I think, of nature and life going on and relationships.
Mm-hmm. So this new book, Dream Quartet, can you talk about that title? And the cover is really interesting, too. Can you talk about that?
Well, it's just a continuation of my life and experiences and observations. But it's different in one respect, in that my grandson died this past winter, and it seemed to be therapy for me to write about him. So every night I wrote about him, and that's just 1/4 of the book, but it's a very important part of the book, and so I dedicate the book to him. Mm-hmm. And there's a picture of him at the end, and his name is Matthew Perena, son of Paul and Beth Perena, and I helped care for him while his parents worked, so he was very close to me. But the cover's very, very interesting because I have younger friends, and it's a delight in my life to have these younger friends. And one of them is the photographer Ruth Hendricks, and she was taking a course where the teacher assigned them to Warholize a photograph, and she happened to have a picture of me because she had taken it at my last reading, and I don't know how she knew it happened to be my birthday, so the teacher liked it and printed it up big, and she brought it to my house on my birthday. And folks seem to like it so well, and other mad women like it, that it's now the cover of my book, and it's very colorful.
So there's a replication of Dorothy Holly on this cover with 4 Dorothys in color, and you have some kind of big hat on there, which is kind of interesting. So.
Yes, I'm a hat woman.
Okay.
And the 4 works well because it's Dream Quartet, and there's 4 sections to the book, and there's some poems on dreams.
Okay. Well, why don't you read some more poems?
Yeah, I have another one with a dream. View to a Dream. The view out the window is new, the old plum tree half dead. Once a thing of beauty, with white blossoms in spring, cut down yesterday, down to the stump. Now behind the garage, above the roof, we see the oak with orange-reddish leaves, which reminds us, beyond beauty lost, a new kind of loveliness. And here's one about an artist. Twilight. Though he created sunflowers, wheat fields, and yellow skies, Van Gogh favored the night, painted his best scenes in twilight. That part of the day between day and night, he could see color in darkness at the outside cafe, the starry night, with starlight bursting the heavens' reflection. Was he trying to reach twilight? Was he trying to see how heaven and earth meet when he took his life? And I'll read the section dedicated to my grandson. I need to share these with you. I'm sorry some of them are sad. You touched a gold flower. When you were a little boy, I walked you in a stroller to the little grotto at St. Philomena's, where a statue of Mary surrounded by flowers was a place to pray for all the family, for all the world, for your well-being as you touched a gold flower. And then his last illness, we didn't know it was his last illness, of course, but he asked to recuperate at my house. And this is a reflection of what we did. In the evening, he slept in my recliner, ate 3 meals daily, though slight, enjoyed bathing in my old tub, not plastic, he said. And in the evening, instead of TV, we listened to the Oakland Girls Choir as we sat by the light of the fire. And then Matthew has a sister, Lisa, and so I want one poem dedicated to them. A light in the pathway. For Matthew and Lisa, their days at my place were filled with playing in the sandbox with wooden toys. Little people, they called them. Drawing, coloring at the table their grandpa made. And listening to their favorite records. Music is magic. And the teddy bear's picnic. And when I read the story Corduroy, they were sad in his loneliness. Glad when he found a friend, and I found joy in knowing them. And I need to read you this one, Last Words. They say your last words were spoken as they took you to ICU. I had just visited and touched your cold hand and wondered why. You kept asking your dad, who had become a good nurse, "Give me some water, please." After the doctor examined you, suggesting a diagnosis, you poked your abdomen and shouted, "It's not my gallbladder." You were right. As they came for you, I prepared to leave, and you said, "Goodbye, Nanny." I replied, "I'll see you tomorrow." I did, and you were dying. Later, I learned your last words as they took you down the hall. "I don't want to die. I don't want to die," you cried.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest tonight is the poet Dorothy Holly. She's reading poems from her new collection entitled Dream Quartet. You know, I wanted to ask you about that series of poems, the Matthew poems, because I know that you were writing so many poems at that time. It must have been very difficult to write those, and yet you were writing so many of them. Can you talk about that process? Because there, you know, there's so many people out there who have lost someone, and you know how that worked for you.
Yes, I know everyone has to bear sorrow. I'm no different in that way, and so I don't know how it happened. But I would sit in the chair he sat in, and I would listen to music, and the poems would just flow out faster than usual. And I think that's why I completed this book as quickly as I did.
Yeah, what I really admire about those poems is that, you know, they're so well crafted. And, you know, sometimes when people write about loss that quickly, what comes out isn't so well crafted, isn't like the other work. But in your case, you know, they're really, really fine poems. So thanks for writing those.
Thank you. Yeah. I do have one more.
Okay, I think I cut you off there.
It's something I learned.
Okay.
Reflection. Am I like Narcissus looking in the pool, not at any perceived beauty, but at my sorrow only? Have I forgotten that others suffer too, have depths of grief beyond my own? As I see my daughter's face, I begin to embrace the fact her grief is deep, thus doubles mine. I want her to know her pain is known, as my grandson is her child and she mine. And then I have a concluding poem in this section called Postscript. The choir of St. Thomas Church gives a concert nearby. A friend invited me. Missing you, I felt like crying. But your voice spoke within. Don't cry, Nanny. I'm fine. The singing, magnificent, touched my heart, especially the sad psalms.
Dorothy, I want to make sure that we talk about your book party that's coming up. It's October 24th at 2 p.m. at Calvary Church in Shadyside. And it's going to be free and open to the public, food and refreshments, and, of course, books for sale. Anything else you want to mention about that book party?
No, I've had, this will be my fourth party, thanks to my daughter who provides the refreshments. On nice days, we would even read out in the garden. But if it's warm enough, we can open up the doors at least, and you can see the courtyard, which is very nice. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice big room, and I'll have someone to direct you there.
And
there's
a
parking lot.
Oh, yeah, free parking. And you will do you'll do a reading, and then it's a celebration kind of thing, right?
Yeah. I might mention each book.
Yeah, all the books would be there for sale, right?
Yeah, I might read a poem from each.
Oh, okay. That seems like a good idea for people who don't know your work yet. Okay. You have some more poems to read?
This fourth section. Let's see, I think I'll start with Where the Fox Ran Free. Unhappy as a child, I created in my mind a place to live alone in the woods among the tall grasses where the fox ran free, where the blackberry bushes bore dark, sweet fruit, where the bees buzzed happily. A dirt road led to more paths to explore, blue sky above, fresh air, and no disturbing sounds, only the gentle flow of the stream. As long as it lasts. Her heart beats out a rhythm, and the mitral valve doesn't open as it should, nor close either, putting a burden on her heart. At night, she wears a mask so she doesn't stop breathing, and she's been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, so she wonders which will do her in first. Thus, she doesn't fret, as she's lived through years of love, joy, pain, is willing to do so again, and says to herself and others, as long as it lasts, life is good. And now back to the garden, planting. On a gloomy day before rain, I go for the red wheelbarrow, faded from years of use, taking soil to garden plots. The daffodils blowing in their yellow glory seem to say the common phrase, have a good day. Okay, I reply, with an eye on the sky as I hastily plant white impatience using compost from the worn, like me, wheelbarrow. And this was written after an assignment where we were supposed to write something about cheating. So I call it the cheating dream. If I ever cheated, it would be to steal money, lots of it, until I was really rich, even wealthier than Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. I'd be a modern Robin Hood, feed the hungry, clothe the poor, give blankets to the homeless. Better still, build them homes, give money to doctors and scientists to find a cure for my grandson and others. I'd build wells in Africa, where the women walk miles to get their daily water supply. I'd buy land to give to people to plant flowers, beautify the earth, plant vegetables for food for all, and we'd all live in peace like before the fall.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest tonight is the poet Dorothy Holly. Dorothy, we know that you started writing at 82 and you have four books.
I didn't really start at 82. I got one published at 82. Okay. I was very fortunate.
So you're writing your whole life then? What I'm getting at is I'd like you to talk to those people out there who feel like they, you know, it's too late to start writing or it's too late to publish, et cetera. And, I know you're 86 years old. Is that right?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Can't believe it myself.
I know. You look great and sound great. So can you give some advice?
No. I just take each day at a time. I've gone through sad times and happy times, and I think being involved in something lengthens one's life.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of the writing, what would maybe you suggest or what worked for you in terms of not giving up and continuing?
Yeah, it's hard work, so I just tell myself to do it.
So you have to make yourself do it?
Well, some of the details, like sending poems off. I hadn't sent any off for this last book. I'm a little embarrassed about that, but I hadn't sent them off because I didn't expect to produce a book this long, and it takes so long to hear from them.
That's true. That's true. So you're working on book number 5?
No, I don't know about that.
I know you have
some. I thought number 3 was the end, but I know you say never say never.
That's right. And you have new poems, I know. So apparently you are working on book number 5.
I keep them.
Yeah.
I record them after they're critiqued.
Okay.
And you rewrite and rewrite sometimes, and sometimes they just come out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have time for some more poems.
All right. Well, since you mentioned my age.
Well, I asked you if I could remember.
Yeah, everybody will know it's in the book. At 86 is the title of this poem. What does it mean, a lifelong lived? For what purpose? To feel the fresh air, the love of the land and the animals therein. The crops harvested, the feel the earth, in planting cut potatoes, the taste of ripe raspberries growing along the fence, suffering the loss at 10 of one much loved, the young married in wartime, giving birth to 5, a challenge to care for, delightful in old age, then again the loss of one much loved, too young to die, why wasn't it me? Heartbroken, starts to mend by writing and love from those loved. Dream Quartet. When the dew is on the grass, a sun still low in the east, the back porch is a place to be, observing what morning brings. Observing what morning brings, the peonies in full bloom, the plum tree forming fruit, the strawberries about to ripen. The back porch is a place to be, blue jay drinking at bird bath, flapping his wings in the water, robins listening for worms. The sun, still low in the east, grabbing them in their beaks. Purple finch at the feet are fighting for their space. And when the dew is on the grass, the cardinal calling to his mate. In midday heat, we do our work. Turn on the fans or air, or aren't afraid to sweat as we clean, bake, take a break, and write to a friend, observing what morning brings. Or lazily take a nap, and that's what I like about summer. Again, in the cool of the evening, the back porch is the place to be. I see only silhouettes of houses with lights in the windows. The moon dreams low in the east when the night dew is on the grass. And this was written and trying to duplicate another person's kind of writing. Her name is Lyra Van Cleef Stefanen.
Lyra Van Cleef Stefanen. Yeah.
Ode to the cow.
Okay.
I feared the head with horns digging into flesh, the tail whipping back and forth, slapping anything nearby like words that hurt, stultify. I cannot answer what it means. She is black, white, brown, the color of mankind. Her body has an udder that brings us nourishment. The food she eats brings forth waste that pollutes the river or fertilizes the field.
You had a final poem that you were thinking of reading also. Before you read that, can you talk about it for a second? What is that last poem?
Well, it's celebrating my birthday and my age, and so it was fun to write about that and how it all came about.
Okay.
Celebration. As we celebrate my birthday, my friend asks, "Do you feel your age?" "No," I say, until I look in the mirror or think of my children's ages. There is laughter under my Stetson's birthday hat, and I think it's grand to have friends 3 decades younger. One brings from her photo class artwork she's done there, a Warhol-like collage of a many-colored me reading poetry. And that's what we spoke of earlier as being the cover of the book.
Mm-hmm. And is that the last poem in the book then?
That's the last poem in the book.
Okay, great.
So might as well celebrate.
That's right. Well, thank you so much, Dorothy. That was terrific. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. Before we totally sign off, I want to be sure to mention Dorothy Holly's book party, which is happening October 24th at 2 p.m. at Calvary Church in Shadyside. And again, that's free and open to the public, food and refreshments, books for sale, and you'll get to hear Dorothy Holly and shake her hand. So, okay. You've been listening to Prosody, WYEP's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. Writers appearing on Prosody also have their work showcased in Chapter and Verse, a biweekly feature in Pittsburgh City Paper, the Arts Entertainment News Weekly, published every Wednesday. Prosody is produced by Jan Beatty and Ellen Wadey. Our sound engineers are Michelle Stoner and Lisa Alexander. Please tune in every Tuesday night at 7 for Prosody, 91.3 WYEP.